Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Thank you, Jesus. Just close your eyes a minute. And that prophetic song that was sung out was not just a moment, but it was a release of God this morning. And we just want to, not that we've lost that, but we just want to key back into that for a minute. Just wherever you are, just close your eyes and just raise your hands before Him. The word that He's brought this morning is He covers us. He releases Himself amongst us, upon us, over us. In these last couple of weeks, as we've given ourselves to Him, He responds. He responds to the cry of the heart. He responds to the desire of the heart. And as we've sought Him and continue to do so, then He comes amongst us. There's a greater release of Him in our lives. So that when we come together, there's a greater release of Him amongst us. And we want to guard what He's doing in every one of our lives. We want to guard what's been happening in the last couple of weeks. We want to guard our hearts as we go forward. Because God is jealous for us as a people. He's jealous for you as a child of God. He's jealous for us as His people. He's jealous for us as His bride. He doesn't want anything else to capture the heart and the eye of His bride. He wants to be the one that captures our hearts and our eyes and our attention. He's the groom. And He wants a bride that is preparing itself for Him. And a bride, when she's preparing for a marriage, is excited. She's focused. She wants to make sure she's ready for that day where she's going to walk down the aisle and look eye to eye into her husband or the husband-to-be, and she's looking forward to that day, and she is getting ready in every way, and she wants to be everything she can be, everything she's called to be as a bride. And when the groom looks down the aisle, he looks at his bride walking up and he's blown away. He's captured by her beauty. He's captured by everything that radiates from her life, because she's been preparing for that moment to marry, to become one. And part of that, the vows, the covenant is, this is for life, this is forever. I'll never ever leave you. I'll never ever forsake you. I give you everything that I am. And they both reciprocate. And the groom, as he looks down the aisle, he's blown away. He's captivated. It's not just the bride that is preparing for the husband, but for the groom. But the groom looks and he's blown away as well. And as we seek Him, as we hunger after Him, as we devote ourselves to Him, He looks at us, He's blown away with us. But His bride preparing, we want to be ready for You, Jesus. We want to live ready right now. We don't want to just live ready when we think You might come, but we want to live ready as if You're coming today. That's why He's been saying to us, devote, detox, decontaminate, live today as if I'm coming today. Live today as if today's that wedding day, that marriage day. Live every day like it. Keep your lamp full of oil. Keep it ready at all times. Because I've called you to be My spotless bride. I've called you to be the one that walks down the aisle, if you like, of the world. As pure and holy and set apart for the groom. And when the bride walks down the aisle, she might glance this way and that way. But only realizing, because people are looking at the radiance and looking at the beauty, maybe the bride's even a little bit embarrassed because all the attention is on her. But really what she's doing is she's just fully fixed on the groom. Radiates with a smile and the whole congregation looks at the bride, is captivated. Wow. And that's how Jesus has called us to be on the earth. The people who radiate his life and his light, who there's a fragrance that comes off our lives that the world looks and says, wow. The people where the world doesn't look and say, please would you get off your soapbox because you're just always condemning us. But a world that looks at the bride, at the church, and says, wow, what love, what grace, what mercy, what forgiveness, what life, what hope, what joy, what power, what family, what community. And the world looks. At this bride that is preparing for her husband to be. And what does the groom do? He's longing to for that moment. And as he gets married, he says, I cover you. That's part of his responsibility, to cover his wife. Like God says, this one, I cover you. I'm jealous for you. I'm jealous for your heart. I'm jealous for your mind. I'm jealous for your body. That you're given to me, devoted to me. I've bought you with a price. I've purchased you with my blood, the blood of my son, Jesus. I gave my absolute best so that you could be spotless and without wrinkle. So that you can be made right with me, pure, clean, holy. So you can be confident walking up the aisle, as it were, approaching me, confident in relationship with me, confident knowing I'm not going to reject you, I'm not going to last minute let you down. Thank you, Jesus. Last week we looked at clothes that are on our lives before we know Jesus, and all those things that the clothes can represent, and how when we came to him and asked him to forgive us, he took all those clothes off and gave us a completely new start. We just want to continue to flow on this morning. The next kind of part of what I believe God wants to say to us in relation to that. I believe God wants to free people from condemnation. And when Jesus gives commands, some people feel like, well, I just feel under it, or I've got to try and live something in my own strength. I believe God wants to liberate us to understand the context in which he commands us and gives us command. There's roughly about 40 or so commands that Jesus gives in the Gospels for us to live. We haven't got time to look at them all. But we're going to look at the context in which he gives us commands, because the Bible says, or Jesus said himself, that if you're my friends, then you will do what I command. And that can sound pretty harsh, but I don't believe he said it in a harsh way. But we need to understand the context in which that command and other commands are given, and how they're then lived and expressed in our lives, so that we live as friends of Jesus. Yes, we're the bride of Christ, but Jesus also called us to be friends. And he wants us to live as friends, and we want to look at that this morning. I believe God's going to bring freedom and liberty into our lives as we do that. So just take a seat for a moment. Can you guys play? Is that all right? Carry on. Do you mind if I carry on? Cool. I'll just have that, mate. Just take that. Yeah. just want to read a couple of scriptures first of all. Isaiah 61 verse 10, I'm going to read it in a couple of translations. First of all, the NIV, it says, I delight greatly in the Lord, and my soul rejoices in God my Saviour. For he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. Then the message, it's great the way it says it in here, listen to this. I will sing for joy in God, explode in praise from deep in my soul. Love that, don't you? What a great expression of a response to God and a heart for God. He dressed me up in a suit of salvation. He outfitted me in a robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom who puts on a tuxedo and a bride a jeweled tiara. Don't you love the Bible? I need somebody to give me a hand this morning. I need somebody who's a bit taller, a bit older this morning. Benza, come on, mate, if you want. Come and give us a hand. Actually, you guys can stop if you want. Is that right? Let's thank these guys, shall we? What's that?
I can see what you mean by being tall.
Yeah, sorry, this isn't a Little Red Riding Hood outfit, all right? I know it's a bit girly, but... last week we looked at the old clothes that Jesus has taken off our lives, and we then talked about the new, or the beginning of the new, that he's placed on us and how he wants to live in the new. And the verses in Isaiah there, they say that he has clothed us with the garments of salvation. He's robed us in his righteousness. Now, this is about the best we could do, but this is a robe of righteousness this morning. And let's get rid of the white.
Actually, should be white on the outside.
Don't worry. It was used at the great whatever thing we did a few years ago. Anyway, this is a robe of righteousness. And it says in that verse that we are robed or clothed in his righteousness. Before, over there, we've made more space because we want to talk about how we live as a friend of Jesus this morning and what that really means today. And so Jesus brought us from not having relationship, and he's brought us into relationship with him, and he's clothed us basically with himself. Galatians 3:27 says, you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For all of you were baptized into Christ. You have clothed yourselves with Christ. So what is the robe of righteousness? It's basically Christ. So you're now clothed with Christ. It's all about relationship. He's brought us into relationship with him, clothed us with himself, and declothed us of everything that was causing damage in our lives or separated us from him. And now he's robed us in this robe of righteousness. I want to read you through John 15, if you want to turn there. John 14 is probably the chapter for today. And we might dip into one or two verses there. But John 15, it's relevant. Obviously, it's the Bible. And it's what we're going to be reading tomorrow. But I just want to bring out some stuff, because we're going to look at what does it mean to be a friend of Jesus, and how do we live as a friend of Jesus. And when I was praying about this the other day, and I was just talking to the Lord, I said, obviously there's... look in the Word, but I said, God, what does it really mean to be a friend of yours? And he just said to me, if you're a friend of mine, you will do what I command. And I was like, wow, okay. So what are your commands then? And there's about 40 commands in the Gospels of what Jesus commands us. And I said to the Lord, I said, obedience is not a popular word in our culture. Or commands are not a popular phrase to use, because people associate commands with control. Yeah. Or they relate obedience to somebody wanting to lord it over you and manipulate you and everything. But yet we know that the commands that he gives are not burdensome. The commands that he gives actually enable us to live free from stuff if we respond to them and live in them. We know that obedience in the Bible leads to joy, that it doesn't lead to restriction and limitation. And what God said to me is just clothe somebody with a cloak of righteousness and then just read some of these scriptures, and then you'll understand the context in which the commands are given when somebody is clothed in my righteousness and the context in which I give those commands. So the commands that he gives are not that we're standing here and now he's just going to give us commands one after the other and say, well, come on, do this, do that and do the other. It's all in the context of being clothed with him and being in relationship with him. So what does it say in John 15, verse 5? He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So Jesus says, if you remain in me, if you stay clothed in my righteousness, if you remain in me, then you're going to bear much fruit. But then he says, if you're apart from me, though, you're not going to bear any fruit. Now, we know it's obvious over there when we don't know Jesus, we can't bear fruit in terms of God's purposes. But here, we often talk about bearing fruit and we just think, well, what do I need to do to bear fruit? Well, first and foremost, Jesus says, if a man remains in me, if he stays clothed in me and covered with me, he is going to bear fruit. Now, what does that look like when we read on? If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. That means that all of the fruitfulness is in Christ. The fruitfulness is not in us. The fruitfulness is in Christ. If we live in disobedience to the word of God and to the commands of God, then we're not going to bear fruit. Why? Because at those moments, we've stepped out of being clothed with Christ.
That's it. Very good. Very good.
In terms of how we're living. Yeah. Now, you've got to remember, our position in Christ is that we're in him and he's in us. That position does not change. But how we live, we can either live in the power of that or live in our own power. And what Jesus is saying here is if you live clothed with me, you're going to bear fruit and much fruit that's going to last. But if you live in your own way and disobey me and don't live in obedience, then you're not going to bear fruit because the fruit is in me. Right. Let's just read a bit more before we get too carried away with me yakking on about something. Verse 7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. So where's Jesus' word? His word is in him. If we're clothed in him, then we're going to live in his word. If we're living in his word, then he says, ask whatever you wish. If you're living clothed with Christ and living in his word, what are the things that you're going to ask for? The things that are in line with his word. Because when you're clothed with Christ and you remain in him and you abide in him and you stay clothed in him, what goes on in your life? God, I want what you want. God, I want to say what you want to say. I want to do what you want to do. Because that's the words that you're remaining in, you're abiding in, you're feeding on. You're feeding on his word, you're feeding on the word. And that's the thing that's filling your mind and heart and is taking precedent over everything else. Therefore, what rises in your heart is a longing to say, God, I want what you want. Therefore, I'm only going to pray what you want, not what I want. Because I understand from your word, this is what you want to do. It might be what he wants to do in your life. So you can receive, be blessed or whatever, or he wants to speak something into your life. It could be for your family or for another situation, whatever it is. But when we're clothed with him, remaining in him and his words remain in us, then partly how you remain clothed is by remaining in his word. So that keeps you clothed with him by remaining in his word. Because what are we saying? God, I want your word to clothe me. I don't want to be clothed with my own stuff. I want to be clothed with your word. And as we clothe ourselves with the word, that enables us to remain in him, walk in him, because he is the word. And if he is the word wanting to walk out his purposes on earth, then we want to be people who are clothed in his word, walking in his word, walking with him so that he can outwork what he wants to do on earth as if he was here. So why did he have to go? Because Jesus couldn't get everywhere at the same time. And he said, that's what we're going to, you guys are going to do, us lot here. So he says, I'm going to clothe you with myself, give you my Holy Spirit, put my word in you, give you a new heart so that you can be me on earth as if I were there. See, this is why it's so important that as Christians, first of all, as individuals, but also as a church, our hearts are after him. Our hearts are given to him. They're devoted to him. They're not contaminated with other stuff that seeks to get our desires and longings, but our devotion is to him, to be clothed with his word. If we're clothed with his word, then we're going to walk in his will. When we walk in his will, then we're available for him to do whatever he wants to do in and through our lives. So let's have a look. What else does it say? Verse 8. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Ultimately, it's all to glorify God, isn't it? Verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. So Jesus is just saying, in the same way that the Father has loved me, I have loved you. Now remain in that love. Remain in me. If you remain in my word, you're going to remain in my love. If you remain in me, you're going to remain in my word. If you remain in my word, you're going to remain in my love. If you're clothed with this cloak of righteousness, this is my word, this is my love, this is who I am. And if you remain clothed in my word and in my love and in who I am, then you're going to know the same relationship that I have with the Father. You're going to have that same thing. I think it's pretty awesome. When Jesus says that I've told you that as the Father loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. When Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And if you know me, then you know the Father. And Jesus prayed in John 17 that he wanted us to have the same relationship with the Father as he had. I think that's pretty awesome. Maybe a few more want that as well. Verse 10, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. Now, if we just take that verse in and of itself, sounds pretty harsh. If you obey my commands, you'll remain in my love, just as I've done. You know, it just sounds like if you're obedient, then that's all you got to be, obedient. But Jesus is putting this whole thing in the context of relationship. You're clothed with me. You're clothed with my word. You're clothed in my love. In that context, he says, verse 10, if you obey my commands, you'll remain in my love. Now, we've already said that to remain in him is to remain in his word, and his word to remain in us. So if we're remaining in his word, if we're walking in his word, living in his word, we're remaining in him. And as he speaks to us, his word to us, his commands, which are all in the Bible, because there's this relationship of love, he speaks his commands. And because we're in him and we're walking in his word, then we're going to walk and live in the commands that he gives. It's not like God suddenly gives you instructions and says, do this, do this, do this, do this, otherwise you're not good enough or I'm not going to love you. But the commands are given in the context of walking in his word, remaining in him. You're walking in him, and therefore he says, love one another. Well, if I'm clothed in him, I'll be able to love others, and I want to love others. If he says, pray for the sick, I'm clothed in him, walking in him, so I'm going to pray for the sick. Why? Because it all flows out of this robe of righteousness, this relationship, this context of us being clothed in him. Sorry, come back over here. Are you all right?
Yeah.
Keeping up. Nice one. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. just as I've obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. See, this is why love is not an emotion. God's love, agape, is from the will. That's why when people get married and they stand before God, each other and friends and family, and they make their vows, they say, I will. Will you take so-and-so to be your, you know, will you do? They don't say at the end, I feel like it, yes. Or it sounds good to me. Or whatever. They say, because it says in sickness and in health, for richer, for poorer, when it's going great and when it might be tough. When we're going through some highs or when there's some lows. Whether things, the successes or the challenges. The person says, I will. See, when you engage your will in something, you can go through things and come out the other side. And see, our relationship with God is not just a heart thing, or if put it this way, it's not an emotional-based relationship. It's based from your will. See, sometimes as Christians, what we want God to do is to zap us, you know? God, give me a greater hunger for the word. Or I know people have said to me before, Clive, could you just pray for me that I have a greater hunger for the word? I'm like, I can't. I said, what you're asking me to do is pray for you and the Holy Spirit just go boom in you and give you a hunger to read the word because you can't be bothered to read it yourself. So what you need to do is rather than live based on an emotion, you don't really want a greater hunger for the word. What you're saying is I'd like a hunger for the word, because if you wanted it, you'd just go and get on with it. So I can't, it's a non-prayer. You know, now, maybe you could say that to God. God, I want a greater hunger for your word. And what God will say to you is, read it then.
That's it. Come on.
And what you find when you read the Bible is God begins to speak to you. And it's a bit like, wow, I want to do a bit more of that. And sometimes you have to discipline yourself, and discipline then becomes a desire.
Yeah. Very good.
And so our relationship with God ultimately is from the will. See, that's what agape, that's what God's love is based in. And therefore, if we understand that, then we understand that when Jesus says about God loving us when we obey his commands, because his love is based in his will. His love is based in his word. His love is not based on an emotion.
That's it. Very good.
Do I feel like God loves me today? God doesn't do feelings like that in terms of, he loves you because he is love.
Very good. Very good.
Let's carry on because there's a bit more we've got to look at. Let's have a look. Verse 11. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. See, Jesus understands that obedience leads to joy. That living out the word and living out the commands of God, which are the word of God, he knows that leads to joy. How many of you know when you're at peace with God, you're joyful? You just, it's like, whatever. Things don't ruffle you, wind you up and all of that. You just think, oh, well, okay, we'll deal with that or whatever. But obedience leads to joy. Because when you're living in obedience, what are you doing? You're living in the will of God. You're living in the word, sorry. You're living in the will of God. You're living in the word of God because you're living inside this robe of righteousness. You're not living separated from it. You're living clothed with it. And that's where that rest is. That's where that peace is. That's where the joy is. Then he says here, verse 12, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Without that, we're stuffed. Because I can't do that. Yeah.
I want it back.
Without that, we're stuffed. We can't love each other. There's too much that goes on sometimes, you know. But yet in this, when we're clothed in him, see what happens. Yeah. You're going to take that home with you. I wouldn't walk down the street in that, mate, all right? Love each other as I have loved you. See, in here, it's forgiveness. In here, we're quick to respond to people. We're quick to show mercy, quick to... Why? Because there's some of the things that Jesus commands us to do. Be merciful as I have been merciful. When the Lord's Prayer, as it's put so often to people, when Jesus taught people how to pray, all of that's a command. So he said, when you pray, pray like this. See, this is a command. It's an instruction. Our Father, worship, hallowed, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. But what does he say a bit further on? Forgive us as we also forgive others. You see, so one of the commands, if we're going to love one another, is that we're quick to forgive. We forgive one another. We let one another off. We forgive or love our enemies. Another command. Jesus says, love your enemies. Wow. You're only going to be able to do that if you're clothed with this. Because this is where love for your enemy is. It's in Christ. It's in this robe of righteousness. Out here, if I'm the person without it on the moment, I'm stuffed. I can't love in my own effort because there'll be things that go on where I just, stuff it or them or whatever. But in him, in here, it's like, God, I know I've got to respond in the right way. So, Father, I thank you for the grace, the mercy, whatever. Because you'll only find it in there. Anyway, verse 11. Greater love is no one than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. Wow. So Jesus is really going for it now. He's not even saying just love one another. He's saying lay your life down for one another. This is about being a friend of Jesus. So lay your life down. Sow your life. Without that on, we've had it. But when you're clothed in Christ, what did Jesus do? He laid his life down. He gave himself. Thanks. Nice one. Yeah, brilliant. Do you want to finish the sermon?
I'll do the actions, you do the talking.
You do the actions, I'll do the yakking. Okay. See, when you're clothed in him, what do you find? You have a response of him.
Very good.
I was reading something yesterday, and it said, this guy was writing it, this is from 1971 or something. I was reading this thing, and this guy said, if you remain in Christ and abide in his love, then that love produces fruit. It produces the fruit. The love produces the fruit that God wants to produce our lives as we remain in him. Because love forgives. Love accepts. Love will always go the extra mile. Love never gives up. Love is patient, kind. You know, it's like we know that that's one of the fruit of the Spirit, isn't it? Love. But it's like the love will produce the fruit through our lives. So we want to remain in that love. Verse 14, you're my friends if you do what I command. Now, you can either look at that in two ways. You can either say, right, I'm here now, and Jesus says, you're my friends if you do what I command. So you either start and say, right, I've got to do whatever he says in order to be a friend. Or you can look at it and say, because I'm clothed with him, and because I'm in him, I haven't got to try and be his friend by obeying his commands in terms of how that could sound. What he's actually saying is because you're clothed in me and you're remaining in me and my word remains in you and you're abiding in me in my love, as you walk in my word, you are walking as a friend of mine because you're living clothed in me, walking in me. You don't have to try and be a friend to try. Well, what's God's command today? Well, I better try and live it. I've got a shadow here. It's brilliant. But he's saying, no, as you live clothed in me, in my word, in who I am, in my love, then you will live as a friend of mine and you will find you're obedient because you want to be because you're living in me and everything that I'm saying and how I want you to be.
Very good.
But at the same time, if we're not living in obedience, then we're not living as friends. Now, the Bible talks about a friend walks closer than a brother. Yeah. And I don't know, probably lots of us have got friends, people that we know in the room, that you know you're just lifelong friends with them. And you might not have seen them for a few months or because they live wherever, but you know when you meet up with them or you see them, it's like no time has gone past. It's just like you picked up from 3 months ago. It's just there's a depth of friendship, connection, conversation, openness, vulnerability, and you just you're on the same wavelength, you know? Now that's something you've chosen. It's from the will. Natural relationships, you haven't chosen them. They're just there. You got to get on. You got to make it work in that sense. But a friend, you choose. And you choose to walk together. I wrote something down yesterday morning when I was praying. God said to me, a friend walks closer than a brother and loves at all times. He can be trusted and depended on without any fear of judgment. You know when somebody loves you and you know they love you, you know that they don't judge you. You know that you can be a bit of a wally, bit of a nutter, you can, you know, whatever. I think I said recently, sometimes my kids, you know, especially when they're growing up more than now, because they're like, Dad, don't be an idiot, you know. But when they're younger, you mess about, do stuff with them. And, you know, if somebody could look in your front window as to how you're behaving, they'd think, they'd ring somebody and get you taken away, you know, whatever. But you're a bit nutty, but out there, and you do whatever because you know they're not going to reject you. They don't love you, and you know your wife isn't going to go, "Oh my word, who did I marry? You've changed since we've had kids. You've become this weirdo." Because you know anything you do, the person that loves you isn't going to go, "Oh my word, what are you doing?" Well, I don't know. You might do. Maybe you just haven't told me. I'm not saying do stupid stuff, walk down the street and do nutty things. But anyway, but you know, it's like there's security in love, right? And so when we read these, it's great having an iPad that it does its own thing. Let's just come up with all my music there for a moment. Thanks. You're my friends if you do what I command. So if we live in him, we will live as a friend. You're not going to have to try and be a friend of Jesus. You're living in his commands, you're living in his word, you're living in his truth. You're living and walking as a friend. Where do we go from here then? I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. If we walked clothed with him, he will have no secrets. If you walk with him in the way we've been talking about, he'll download his heart into your heart. He will tell you stuff. If we don't walk like this, he's not going to tell you. Because in friendship, you tell friends things you trust, right? Because there's relationship, there's trust, there's something deep there. And there's some people that you know, there isn't that level of friendship, so you don't say certain things to them about your life because your friendship's not at that level. Maybe it's going there, but it's not there at that moment. But what Jesus is saying is here, I have not withheld anything from you. Everything I've learned from the Father, I've made known to you. So as you walk with me as a friend, as you walk clothed in me, as you abide in me, as you remain in my word, as you live in who I am, if you live devoted, as you give yourself to me and live in this way, then you're going to hear stuff from me. You're going to pick up my heart. You're going to be in the flow of what is on my mind, what's on my heart, what my will is. And you're going to walk in that way. And I can share some things with you and talk to you about some stuff that's really on my heart. And I know you're not just going to discard it and throw it because I can see that you're remaining, abiding, taking this thing seriously. Therefore, there's things I can reveal because you're going to carry them. You're going to pray through them. You're going to respond to them. You're going to do something with them. Then he says, I don't call you servants any longer. A servant there means slave. If you've got a servant or a slave, you don't tell them stuff about your life, do you? Whereas a friend, you open up. And that's what Jesus is saying, you're friends. You didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, and fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. That's it. Come on. So he chose us, but we responded. When we responded and asked him to forgive us, clean us up, he then clothed us in him. When we're clothed in him, he says, now I've appointed you to go and bear fruit. Where does the fruit flow from? Being clothed. It flows from this robe of righteousness, this relationship, this being clothed, this of him, of his word, of his will, of his love. Everything's going to flow from that. So as, if we walk in with him in this way, we will bear fruit. You don't have to try. We will. But how do you see the fruit? By obeying his commands. If we obey his commands, we see the fruit. What does it say? You didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Wow. Sometimes it's like, God, I'm just not getting the answer to my prayer. I've been praying this, but I haven't got an answer. Well, maybe we just need to just take a step back a moment, because Jesus says, abide, remain in me, in my word, in my love. Stay clothed in me. And as you walk with me, then you're going to pray whatever my will is. And you're going to begin to bear fruit and see the fruit of what needs to take place in that situation. But you're going to ask whatever, because it flows from this context of whatever, not my context of whatever. As we obey his commands, it says, we will ask. So if we're walking in his will and walking in what he's saying, we're going to ask what he wants as we go, and then we will see that take place. You're my friends if you do what I command, flows out of relationship. We're going to skip one or two things. Just to sum up now, four things about being a friend of Jesus. One, living in the truth of his word. Second, love one another. Third, bearing fruit that lasts. And fourth, we see answered prayer. What's the greatest commandment when Jesus was asked? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul and strength. Then he says, the second is like this, love your neighbor as yourself. And he said, this sums up all the law and the prophets. So Jesus sums everything up in two sentences. Love God with everything you got and love people as you'd love yourself. Now he does revise that a little bit later in John 13 when he says, a new command I give you. He changes the second command a little bit and puts a little bit more to it. Instead of just love people how you'd love yourself, he says, now love one another in the same way that I have loved you. So he's like, love God with everything you got and love others in the same way that I have loved you. Where does that flow from? Here. What does Jesus call that? Friends of mine. What does a friend do? Tells things about themselves, reveals things about themselves, tells them things that are on their heart. I don't know. Do you want that kind of relationship with Jesus? That's the kind of relationship I want with him. Where you're walking as a friend. You're not trying to be a friend. So how are you a friend of Jesus? Do whatever he commands. What is that? That's abiding in his word. That's living in the truth. If you abide in his word and remain in his truth and what his word says, then you walk and live as a friend of Jesus. What does it say? Whatever you ask, then happens. Let's all stand, shall we? Thanks, mate. Let's give Benzo a round of applause. Cheers, buddy. Let's stand together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. See, this is why it's so easy. The enemy loves to condemn us, put us down, and make us feel like we're not making it, we're not good enough, not making the mark. But Jesus says, if you're clothed with me, if you're in me and you're walking in me, if you're abiding, remaining in my word, in my love, then whatever you ask, you'll receive. It will be done. That's pretty cool, isn't it? It's in that context. He says, as you're remaining in me, this is where the commands come, and this is how they're lived out, in remaining, in abiding, in walking in my word. So if you've had any condemnation where you know the enemy's been shooting arrows at your life and you're not good enough, not making the mark, just give that to him right now. Just talk to the Lord and, Father, I give you every sense of condemnation, every sense of trying to perform to be accepted or good enough. I just throw all that aside right now. Maybe even you'd use last week's analogy. I take off that piece of clothing called condemnation. I'm not going to live under that any longer. But I thank you, Jesus, that you've clothed me in your robe of righteousness, right standing with you, right relationship with you. Let's just talk to the Lord for a minute. Because you can be in Christ but live in your own strength. Because you've got a position of who you are in Christ, but you could have a walk that is trying to do it in your own strength. And he wants us to not just have the position but the walk. And this year, God is speaking to us about being a people of light and being a people that shine. On the vision night, we heard things about how we want to connect with our heart and our passion. What is on your heart? What's your passion? What do you want to see happen? What do you want to get involved in? And not having life groups any longer in a couple of months' time, but changing everything into small groups, but connected with heart and passion. Ultimately, really, to reach people. And that as a church, that we become a church that is so easy to become part of for new people. That's a challenge for all of us. It's a challenge for maturity as a church. That we're not here for ourselves. We're here for everybody that's not here yet. And what's important is that we are a people that are robed, clothed in his righteousness. We live in that way. We love one another. Because Jesus said the world will see that we're his disciples by the way we love one another. So first, just thank the Lord that he has clothed you in a robe of righteousness. Just thank him. Thank you that you're not outside. You haven't got to try and put it on. He's done it. But mate, just talk to the Lord now. God, I want to live in that robe of righteousness. I choose, Jesus, to live, to remain, to abide in you. What does that really look like? Some of it's seeking the Lord, seeking after God, spending time with him. And a 21-day thing like we're doing is giving ourselves to him and doing all the stuff that he said for us to do, whether we're meeting to pray or getting into the word, sharing communion, praying for unsaved friends. That's abiding in him. It's doing what he's told us to do. That's abiding. That's remaining. That's walking. That's living as a friend of Jesus. So it's not that I've got to attain something to be a friend of Jesus. It's simply listening to his voice, doing what he says, and then that's living as a friend. That's walking in relationship. Father, I thank you for your freedom and liberty this morning. Where we've looked at obedience as control, or we've looked at commands as being control and manipulative. Father, I thank you for that freeing right now. That your commands come in the context of being robed in you, remaining in you and abiding in you. And as we do that, we are living out your commands. We're living as friends. It's your walk. It's your relationship. That's what it means to walk as a friend of Jesus. So, Father, I thank you that you would find us as a church being a friend of yours, quick to respond, quick to obey, quick to walk in your will and your way, quick to apply the word, the truth, into situations and not get carried away with an emotion or with a thing or that or the other, but we say, okay, what does the word say I need to do? How does the word say I need to live that? How does the word say I need to respond? How does the word say I need to apply or whatever I need to do at this moment? Because I want to walk in your ways and remain and abide in you. That's how we remain in him, by walking in his way in that way. It's not just how much you seek God. But the more I seek God, the more I'm in him. No. It's the more you do his will. Amen. That's what Jesus said. Yes. The ones who please my Father are the ones that do his will. I don't know about you, I want to be a will doer of God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I know time's gone this morning. It's day 14 of our 21 days. We've got 7 days left of the initial prayer, fasting and feasting. And I want to encourage us all, let's make the most of these next few days. Then whatever God's been redefining in your life or your home, that you don't put it into reverse. Don't put it into reverse gear a week tomorrow. And suddenly, all right, now that's over. We'll just go back to the way it was. Actually, God's led us forward and we want to continue to go forward. So let's make the most of this next 7 days. If you can make it to one of the prayer meetings, there's one here at 6, there's one at Roffey at 6:30, down in Worthing, there at 7 in Crawley. I don't know what time they are, 6 o'clock I think. And Encounter Night Wednesday, praying in your homes, getting into the Word, having communion, praying for unsaved friends. Let's make the most of this week. Let's continue to give God space to shape and work and move in our hearts and lives. Let's let God continue to change the lifestyle of who we are as a church. And that's not just what we do collectively, but also in our private, in our homes. Let him continue to change the lifestyle of how we spend our time and what we do, so that we stay decontaminated and we stay devoted to him. Because there's a lot he wants to do in 2014. If you weren't here on Wednesday because you weren't able to be or whatever, then that is on the website, the Vision Night. Have a listen to it. It's really important what God is saying and how he wants us to be this year. Father, we thank you for your grace upon our lives to live as friends of yours, set apart people, living in the world but not of it, but called to go back into it with the Great Commission. Go make disciples. Lay your lives down. Serve others. Walk in love. Mercy, grace, love. Be the people I've called you to be. Live as if it was me walking down that street. Live as if it was me in your office or in your workplace. Live as if it was me in the home at the dining table. Live as if it was me. Because he's here with us anyway. But let's live as if it was him. He is in this body, isn't he? I'm just trying to help us, you know. Let's live as if he was walking the walk. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.